In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Early this week, I had a few quiet days to myself down at Williamstown in that lovely spirituality centre that a number of you have been to for our quiet days. And of course, we are going to be holding another one on Saturday, October the 4th, and we have a number of people who've booked into that already, but there's still a couple of spots available if you would like to attend. Now, part of the joy in being down there in Williamstown and in that lovely property was looking out to the sea and walking along the esplanade and hearing and observing the bird life. Well, on Tuesday morning as I walked, I heard a tweeting, a bird call near my feet. And I looked down and saw a superb fairy wren. That's the name of them, superb fairy wren. I looked it up. It was clearly a male, for he had a blue chest and throat. He was getting quite excited in his calling. So I stood very still, waiting to see what would happen next. Well, fairly soon, along came another wren, tweeting in response. And this one was a grey female one. And they jumped around together in the low bushes before they flew away together. So two fairy wrens, finding each other, wanting to be with each other, to relate. And my reflection was that this being with, capital B, capital W, withness or relationship is actually built into the whole of creation. Why? Because God the Creator is a God of relationship. And well before time existed, God wanted to relate. This is a God who is utterly with us whenever and wherever we are, even when we don't know it or feel it, or when we feel that God is absent from us. Now, you are probably thinking, well, how does this relate to the Feast of the Holy Cross that we are celebrating today? Well, reflecting on the cross doesn't only belong to Good Friday. As Christians, we know somehow that the cross is central to our faith, but we're not quite sure exactly what that means. I think it's a lifelong journey, really, to find out. So today will not be the last word on the cross, but perhaps it can be an invitation to a deeper exploration of the meaning of the cross and Christ's death for us. Now, today is connected with actually remembering the life of Saint Helena, mother of the Roman Emperor Constantine, who converted to Christianity. And Helena converted as well. We're not quite sure who converted who there, Constantine or his mother, but they both became Christians. So seeking a closer experience with Christ towards the end of her life, Helena, guided by the Holy Spirit, went searching in Jerusalem at the location of the Holy Sepulchre for the true cross, the cross on which Christ died. Now, we're talking about 320 AD here. So a long time ago. And there are a few traditions around what happened when Helena went to Jerusalem, and you actually have a story about that at the back of your pew sheets under the art commentary. So I suggest you don't look at it now, but look at it later and you will see another interpretation of Helena's finding of the true cross. Well, she did discover the Holy Cross, and in celebration of that, Constantine ordered the construction of two churches, one at the site of the Holy Sepulchre, and I would think a few of you may well have visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, and the other one was on Mount Calvary. And those churches were dedicated on September the 13th and the 14th in 335 AD. And shortly thereafter, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross that we are celebrating today began to be celebrated on September the 14th. The feast slowly spread from Jerusalem to other churches until by the year 720, so about 400 years later, the celebration was universal across the Christian world, both Eastern and Western, so Orthodox and non-Orthodox, and certainly the Anglican Church is part of that. Now, importantly, I think, when Helena found the cross, she did not worship the wood of the cross, we are told, but Jesus the King, who hung on the wood. You see, she was really seeking the one whom she wanted to be with. As the Reverend Dr. Sam Wells, UK priest and theologian, writes, there is one word that sums up the four Gospels, and it is with. Jesus' ministry, above all else, is about being with us in pain and joy, in quiet and in conflict, in death and in life. And you may well remember that the very first gospel, Matthew, begins with the angel's promise that the Messiah who is coming will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And of course, we see that witness, that relationship within the Holy Trinity, which is not a focus of today. We have a Trinity Sunday previously. But within the Godhead, there is a perfect symmetry of being with, perfectly present to each other in love, each person of the Trinity. But that, because of that love, it reaches out to all humanity, indeed all of creation. So, this is God's gift to us, the gift of God's very life, that we might be transformed and know what it is to live in a relationship of love with the Creator. But how is this made possible? And will it cost God? Yes. Sam Wells again, in quite an amazing statement, I think. There was a cross in the heart of God from before the foundation of the world. God's life opening up to us was always going to cost God everything. The cross in the heart of God will always be there. The scar remains. So when we think of the cross and Jesus' death, well, yes, there is suffering. But the excruciating details of that suffering is not the core meaning of the cross. Because we know that many people suffer in all sorts of ways, and some more so than the physical suffering of Christ. The gospel is not that Jesus suffered, but that he was abandoned on the cross. Jesus' very last words in Mark's gospel were, my God, why have you forsaken me? So even though I have said the crucial word in all the gospels is with, at that point on the cross, as Jesus is dying, Jesus is left without. Deserted, betrayed by disciples, authorities, the crowd, and even in his experience, without God his Father. The cross is a unique event because at the very moment of Jesus' death, for the only moment ever, Jesus is left without, and the being with is lost. It's like the deepest realities of the universe have been unhinged for a moment. The Son is not with the Father, although he desperately wishes to be. We go back to my image of the two fairy wrens. Can you imagine, as they start off being with each other, a big foot comes down between them, or a shadow or a snake? They are separated. They are no longer with each other. So at this very point of Jesus dying, God is being separated from God, for we know that Jesus was divine as well as human. So at that moment, Jesus experiences the reality of human sin, because sin is fundamentally living without God, away from God, of being without comfort. He experienced the state of being without the Father in his experience of death. And yet, amazingly, he's still talking to the Father in intimate terms. He says, "My God, my God." He still reaches out. So there is quite a unique horror and wonder in this moment. And Jesus receives no answer. So even though we have often been so determined to go our own way and be without Jesus, he has given everything to be with us. And that everything has included losing his own being with the Father. We might think then, is all lost at this moment of great horror? And of course, this is what we relive on Good Friday when we come to it, don't we? The darkness, the absence. And we go through after Good Friday the yawning abyss of Holy Saturday. But what happens on Easter Sunday? We have the being with restored through the glorious resurrection of Christ. And then, of course, we have the ascension a bit later, where Jesus returns to the Father. So, this is the crucifixion of our Lord. Love unto death. This is the Holy Cross. Our indifference, our selfishness, our cowardice, confronted by God's wondrous love, who wants to be with us always. So Christ on the cross is the demonstration of the centrality, the cost, and the promise of God being with us. And through that event, we are restored and made whole and set free. So the cross bears a truth like no other, that even in our deepest sorrow or despair, we are not alone, because Christ has been through that for us. So as St. Paul writes, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, who longs to be with us. Amen.